But 1 Kings 19, and I want to talk to you in this series, and the last one, which is number 7, means full, means complete, means ça c'est fini. After this sermon today, the series is over. But I hope something has resonated in your spirit, in your heart, throughout this series, that wherever you find yourself, I mean, oh, the Lord is there. He's there, and he's going to feed your soul. He's going to feed your soul. You know what? Don't worry about it, Pastor. Don't worry about it. I'll just turn around and read the text with you. Do y'all mind? It's just a text. I know that sometimes when I preach and there's a PowerPoint, you get all discombobulated. You know, you can't even read it and listen at the same time. So somebody say amen. It's a lot to do. I know it's a lot to do. But let's look at it. 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah in a cave is where we're going. Finish that out. And next slide. Hey, here we go. Up. Here we go. Up. Here we go. Up. Here we go. Hey, somebody shout glory. The devil is a liar. I mean, no, we're going to preach this word. We're going to finish this thing because I believe God has culminated it all to get us to right here, right now. Look at this. After, you know, he ate that pancake at IHOP, intentional house of purpose. Remember that last week? Some of you did. But anyway, he went on the strength of that pancake. It must have been from Billy Gale's. He went on the strength of that one pancake for 40 days and 40 nights. It's a lot. And so there he went into a cave at Mount Horeb and spent the night in that place. Somebody say that place. That place. Everywhere you go is a different place. And every time, listen to what I've found. In transition, the Lord has already given somebody a word today that there's a new road you're about to get on, a narrow road, but he'll be with you. I mean, if you go to a new place, you better set up a new pace. Every time God moves you, he's got something in store for you in that place. Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's keep going then. He spent the night in that place. Well, let's finish reading that one verse. He spent the night in that place, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing in here, Elijah? Stop right there. I'm going to take my time and preach, if you don't mind. Is anybody here ready to hear a word from the Lord? What are you doing in here? You can put the emphasis on any word in that little phrase, and God is not asking the question because he's got amnesia. How many know God knows right where Elijah is? He put him there. Or Elijah ran there in the strength of the Lord. There's several reasons he might have been in that place, and we'll deal with that. But when he got there, the Lord said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Not because he wanted to know. He wanted Elijah to process where he was and what God was doing. And I want you, hopefully through this whole series, been resonating in your spirit. Where am I, and what does God have for me in this place? So he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Next slide, please. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. Or you could actually say, stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. I mean, when you get in the presence of the Lord, some things are going to happen. In the presence of the Lord. Get in the presence of the Lord, Elijah. Get out of that dark cave. And behold, the Lord passed by. Does anybody here wish the Lord passed by you today? Anybody wish the Lord would come by your aisle, touch you on the way? Amen. Well, maybe not. You're so engrossed in that. I get it. I told you, it's hard to do two things at once. Behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord, very interesting, was not in the wind. And after the wind, pretty much like a hurricane, after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, still small boy. So it was. When Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and he went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And suddenly, somebody shout suddenly, Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing in here, Elijah?" I want you to know, when I was studying this, I thought it was a misprint. But here it is again. "What are you doing in here, Elijah?" And Elijah said it all again. "I've said before, Lord, I've been very zealous for the Lord of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken the covenant, torn down the altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left. And they seek to take my life." Then the Lord said, how many know the Lord's got something to say? Anybody here still believe God speaks? If you will listen and obey, he will speak. The Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way, a narrow road ahead of you, to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive," where? There. Somebody shout there. There is a place called there. I hope you got that throughout this whole time. When you get there, I have an appointment for you. I have an anointing on your life. I have a purpose for your life. I have a plan for your life. When you get there, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel, Meholah. And you shall anoint as prophet in your place, in your place. And it shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. And whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet, I want you to know something, Mr. Elijah, who you think you're the only one in the world left. I have reserved 7,000 in Israel whose knees have not bowed to Baal and every mouth has not kissed Baal. Could somebody give the Lord praise for the word of the Lord today? Powerful. That's it, I think. Let's go on. Let's go on to the pictures. There's Elijah. He's in the cave. I know everybody here at one time or another has been in a cave. A cave is a dark place. It's a place you run to in fear. It's not a happy place usually. But he finds himself there, and he's obeying the Lord. So the Lord said, "Just stay right there, and we'll talk to you about it in a little bit." But God told him to stand at the mouth of the mountain. God's about to do something in his life. So God is God. I hope you're getting this. He's God on the mountain. He's God in the valley. He's God by the brook. He's God under the tree that you felt suicidal. He's still God. And he's God on the run. And he's God in the cave. And this is where the man of God is today. And we're going to close up with this word. But I think it's very, very important that you catch this. Because Elijah ran all the way to Mount Horeb. Horeb is Mount Sinai. How many know there are a lot of things happen in the past at Mount Sinai and Sinai? And sometimes whenever you're running in fear, you want to have some hope that God still answers prayer. And this discouraged man of God is running for his life, and God strengthens him with a little hot cake and water, and he has sustained him for 40 days. How many know the power of God can sustain you? If you're at a very weak moment, last week God moved in these altars. Some people prayed through to victory. How many know he will fight for you? He is for you. Even when you can't see him, feel him, hear him, touch him, God is already there before you ever got under the juniper tree. He's already under the tree of depression. He was back at the brook. He was over there in the palace. He was in the presence of the Lord. Remember that? Where you want to stay, my friend, no matter the condition of your mental state or your emotional state or your physical exhaustion, I mean, oh, as long as you're in the presence of the Lord, it's going to be okay. Turn to your neighbor and say, "It's going to be okay." Because y'all all quiet this morning. I'm going to preach whether y'all say anything or not. It's about being in the presence of the Lord. And God is going to sustain you. He's going to help you. And I hope that you pull in the answer that Elijah wants, a word from the Lord. I believe he went to that specific place intentionally. This is very, scholars believe, the very cave that Moses went to. The very exact place. And what happened when Moses got to the cave on Mount Sinai? When he got there, that's where God gave him revelation knowledge to do the Ten Commandments. God met him on that mountain with lightning and thundering and all kind of stuff. And just, this is almost ditto. This is almost a parallel text years later after Moses. But I think Elijah, the man of God, heard the story of Moses on Mount Sinai. And when you're discouraged, sometimes you have to be refreshed by what God did in the past. And if you ever, if you had a victory place in your past, David said, boy, when we come to Oak Grove, even Eli said, when we come here, it just strengthens us. It's a place where we remember. It's a place where we had support. It's a place where we had encouragement. I mean, if you want to find encouragement, you go back to that place. When you need a word from God, you might ought to have a place where you meet with God. How many know we ought to be meeting with God every day? And I would encourage you, if you're a believer, find a place. There is a place in the Lord. Amen? And if you return to that place, Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord. God's not trying to hide from you your future. He already told you the promises of God are still the same. Amen? He already told you he's covenanted with you. He'll be with you always, even to the end of the earth. Wherever you find yourself, God will be there. Amen? So many of you have been in that dark place, that lonely place, that desolate place, that desert place. And maybe when you're there, you don't understand why you're having to go through such a hardness, such a loss. But I want to assure somebody this morning, in the name of Jesus, there is unseen purpose taking place right where you are. And though you can't see it, by the authority of the name of Jesus, I mean, oh, he's got you right where you are. In this season, at this time, for a specific purpose. And you can't see it. But God, you're not aware of it. But God has got you there. So what we have to do is we have to get in that place and get quiet before God so we can hear the instructions from the Lord. And that's what he did with Moses. I believe, my friends, that's what he's trying to do with Elijah. And listen, there'll be things in this life that you may never understand on this side of heaven. But you may need to trust God, amen, that he's working it all out for his glory, and for your good. God cares about your future. Does anybody here believe that? He cares about your future, and he wants to fulfill his plans in your life, but you might have to go here and then be transitioned to here. God ordered the steps of the righteous, and so there will be things that you don't always understand. But he's working it out. Somebody shout, he's working it out. Every place is interwoven into his great plan for your life. And the lives of the people, not only for your life, but the lives of the people that you're going to influence. God, when he deals with you, he's also dealing with the next generation. You're not the end thereof. And Elijah was going through a complex. Hey, I'm the only one here and I'm the only one left. And they're out to kill me. If they kill me, what's going to happen to the kingdom? I remember when I was a young preacher, I had a mentor told me, I said, I just don't know what kind of effect I'm having on the people I'm ministering to. And he had a glass of water in front of him. And he said, I'm going to show you, Pastor Ron. Take your finger and stick it in that glass of water. And I said, okay. And he said, now pull it out. He said, there it is. There it is. I mean, oh, you may not feel like you're making a whole lot of effect and change, but how many know God's doing things you can't see? It may not look like results. Elijah's discouraged. He's on the run. He thought maybe when fire came down from heaven, all of Israel would be saved, that Ahab would be saved, that Jezebel would repent, that we'd have revival, but it didn't happen, and the man of God's feeling like a failure. So he ends up in this dark cave. Did you know that God can work in those dark places just as he does in the daylight? God can work anywhere. And in the creation of the world, the sun wasn't created until the fourth day. I mean, God is God. And he predetermines and orders everything. He made the sun when the sun was time to be made. And he made the waters, and then he put fish in it. He didn't make fish where they flounder all over and they have no water. I mean, oh, God's smart. Is anybody here figured out that God's smarter than you and me? He has a divine order of things. He has a timing, as Caleb was mentioning earlier. And although it may be small and it may not be the result you're looking for, don't get discouraged. God's not finished yet. He's on a process. He's working it out. And so in the creation, he has a divine plan, a process, an order of things that come to pass in his time. And if you're in a cave this morning, just know you're not alone. 40 years of ministry, Melissa and I have seen people in a cave. In fact, I might even have vacated a cave myself. Anybody ever been in a cave? Come on, we're in cave country here. Anybody been down to Branson, down to Silver Dollar City, going to a little cave? Did anybody ever go back? Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. And in 1 Kings 19, after 40 days and 40 nights of traveling on one pancake, how many know God can sustain you? Amen. He spent the night in a cave. And verse 9 says, Jesus met him in that cave. The word of the Lord came to him there. So it may not have been a physical presence or an angel. I mean, no, the word of the Lord is the word of the Lord. And when you're in a dark place, it's an important thing that you can hear and understand and listen and articulate what the Lord is speaking to you. The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord comes from the Lord of the word. Jesus is the living word. The Bible is the written word. And sometimes God can speak through prophets, and sometimes he can speak through the Bible, his written word. Sometimes he shows up and whispers something to you. Sometimes he speaks with lightning and thunders and all kinds of other things like that. But the Lord came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? The implication is that you don't belong in a cave. That's the implication. But sometimes we get there, don't we? And his response is, I. They're trying to kill me. Can I tell you, when you get in a dark cave, one of the signs that you're in the cave is that it's all about you. All you talk about, all you think about is you. Now, he's discouraged because what he thought God should have done over on Mount Carmel, it didn't happen. And if you have a high expectation and you don't see the results come, I mean, a lot of ministers and churches can get discouraged. Because God didn't move and do what they thought he should have done when he should have done it. But God, tomorrow morning when you wake up, is not waiting for you to get up so he can ask you what he should do. How many know he's still God all by himself? But here's a powerful word for somebody in the dark cave this morning. Go out of this dark cave and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. That's the word. If you don't get nothing else, get out of this cave. Amen. And go stand in the presence of the Lord. For the Lord is about to pass by. Somebody shout, come out. You got to come out of this darkness. God don't go into darkness. When God shows up, darkness disappears. How many know God is light? And wherever he is, there is no darkness. But if you're running in fear will leave you in a dark place. Certainly not going to bring you to God. Stand up and get out of the cave and watch what I'm about to do. That's what he said. Scholars say this is the exact place Moses was, and God just told him the same thing. Stand in the cleft of the rock. Look at this, Exodus 33, 21 and 22. Then the Lord said to Moses, I love this, there is a place next to me where you may stand on a rock, and when you're standing next to God, how many know it's going to all be all right? How many figure that out? If you're standing in the presence of the Lord, it's going to be all right. You're sitting in a cave, you might be there a while. Verse 22, when my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft in the rock, and I'm going to cover you with my righteous right hand until I have passed by. Why? Because you will be blown away if he don't put his hand over you. Well, look what happened. Let's take a couple of pictures here. He's standing out there, and the wind came like a hurricane, but the Lord was not in the wind. And then next, he had an earthquake, and then the fire, but the Lord was not in any of these dramatized major displays of God's power, of destruction. It broke the rocks in pieces. And sometimes we're waiting to hear a big word from God, and God just might have a little whisper waiting on somebody. And we're always used to being big. And can I tell you, big's not always best. I tell you, God has a place that he wants to put you and keep you for a little bit and pass by you. God's not trying to bypass you. He's trying to pass by you. Just like he said, Moses, and when I pass by you, Moses, I want you to see my goodness. My goodness. I don't know if you've ever contemplated the goodness of God. And this may not be ministering to a soul today, but it's surely rocking my spirit. When I think of the goodness of the Lord, when I think about how good God's been to me in 43 years of serving him, I told my class this morning, there's been bad days in the ministry, been bad days in life, but listen, I can't even recall them because the good day. Come on, somebody. I need somebody who's had a good day with God. The good days have far surpassed and exceeded the bad days. I can't even recall the bad days because the good days have been so good. Oh, but he said, hey, I'm going to pass by. And then when I will remove my hand and you will see my back because my face you cannot see. God reminds his people that he is present with us, in us, and he's still working things out for us. We are not abandoned. We're not alone. We are God's beloved. We are his servants. We are his priests, his prophets, his kings. We are his people. And he's going to be with us. And so the command comes. Go and stand on the mountain. Here's basically, I'll put it in simple format. Make a move. Elijah, get up and get out of this dark cave. I can't do anything with you in there. What are you doing in here, Elijah? You don't belong in here. People of God don't belong in darkness. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people called out of darkness and into his marvelous light. We don't belong in caves. We get there sometimes, but how many know it ought to be a temporary stay? Even Jesus had a three-day stint at the Holiday Inn cave. Get out of here, he said. Get in my presence, and the light of revelation will come to you about what you're going to be doing next. Is anybody getting this so far? The very first thing God did was challenge him to change the atmosphere. Hey, Elijah, you can't get this until you get out of this darkness. You have a darkness mindset. Your perspective is different because you're in a dark, negative cave. You know, in photography, where they make the negatives? In a dark room. How many know there's a lot of Christians sitting in dark rooms waiting for a light of revelation from the Holy Spirit? How many know it doesn't happen in a dark room? Only the dark room, all it does is produce negatives. And a negative is not going to give you a positive. Amen? So God says, we're going to change the atmosphere. You have to make a move by faith. Get out of that dark place of self-pity. Get into the presence of the Lord. And then when you get there, I'm going to pass by you. When I pass by you, you're going to know it, son. You're going to know when God passes by. How many know when the Lord begins to move, you can't deny it. And the rocks are breaking. He's standing at the cave. He's looking, and there's an earthquake going on. Look, he's looking at it. What is going on? Lord, is that you? Cricket. God's showing his powerful display. God's showing him, yes, it's me. But what I've got to say to you, Elijah, I'm not going to speak. Not in the wind, not in the earthquake, not in the noise, not in the fire. I got something special for you, boy. And you're going to have to quiet yourself. You're going to have to slow it down a bit and listen intently. And you're going to know it when I show up. Just like you know it when you see all of this, you're going to know it when I speak. So never allow fear. Here's the point. Fear can trap you in a dark place. It's the enemy of faith. In fact, fear is faith in the enemy. You have to put your faith in God or faith in the enemy. You can't alter. You can't have a waver between the two. How many know it's either the Lord? It's either the Lord speaking to you or the enemy speaking to you. or you speaking to yourself, which is probably being motivated by the enemy. God speaks. Fear is false evidence appearing real. And every time you get in a dark place, it appears that that's real. Can I tell you that's not real? What God has is real, is about to be displayed. You can't see it yet. You don't know it yet. You're anxious. You feel like a failure. You feel like you've lost. You feel like God's not doing anything with Ahab, Jezebel, Israel. Everybody's doing it. I'm the only one left. And God said, hey, buddy, get out of that place. You need an attitude adjustment. Obviously, today, we don't run and hide in literal physical caves. But how many know there's some people run into emotional caves, retreat into isolated caves we create for ourselves. And if we're not careful, how many know the cave can become a prison? It's not over. How many know Satan's not happy with you in a dark cave? He would like for you to be in a prison, locked in, because you're believing the effects of the cave are taking hold on you. If you stay in your hurt, if you stay in your resentment, if you stay in your anger, you can die in that place. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Or you can take Satan and throw him in his dark place. You got to take authority over the enemy. You got to say to Satan, I don't belong in here. God just asking me a question. He's not asking because he don't know. He's asking because he wants Elijah to know. You don't belong in here, man of God. Throw Satan in the dark place. I mean, no, that's a good trait. Get up and get out of here because you're allowing. I tell you, it's awful. Melissa and I have watched a lot of people go from the tree to the cave to the prison, ultimately to their grave. And walk out of that cave. I said, God wants us to walk out of the cave. That's the first instruction I see here. Get out of here. Go stand on the mountain, at the mountain, and watch what I can do. But an unforgiving spirit, an unforgiving attitude, a cave of contentment, a cave of resentment, a cave of I don't know. How many know your mouth can be one big dark cave? Preach, preacher! And if you want to rid yourself of unforgiving spirits, get up and walk out of that cave and stand next to God, and he will pass by you. You're called to greater things than cave dwelling. I said, you're called to greater things than dwelling in a cave. And you've not lost your calling. God's trying to say, hey, buddy, you haven't lost your calling. I got a plan for your life. You don't belong in a cave, Elijah. Elijah didn't lose his faith. He lost his hope. He lost his hope. Is God going to do anything for Israel? Nobody out there doing what I'm doing. And you got preachers that have this Messiah complex sometimes. They're the only one left. They're the only one left. I'm the only one left. Nobody else is doing that. Oak Grove's the only church in the whole world doing anything for God. How many know the devil is a liar? There's a whole lot of churches doing good for God. But when you start thinking like that, how many know that's stinking thinking? And he felt like a failure. And these... a song came to my heart. These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. These are the days of my servant David, righteousness being restored. No? Not getting it? And though these are days of great trial. No? You're not going to sing it with me. I'm not going to sing it with you. That's all there is to that. Famine and darkness and sword. I decree this morning, in the name of Jesus, I declare and decree a new thing's coming into your life. Today, if some of you are in a dark place, you need to stand next to God, and you don't belong in that place. I decree in your life, get out of that cave. Here's what happens when you get a threat from hell. You need a word from heaven. Jot this one down. When you get a threat from hell, Jezebel, you need a word from heaven. And God is sitting there, ready, if you'll get in his presence and listen intently. Elijah, you're my property. You're my prophet. You're my son. And I want you to prophesy to your situation. Just like Ezekiel. Well, what are we going to do? Hey, prophesy. Didn't he tell Elijah to prophesy to the winds earlier? And he changed it, and then he prophesied to the winds when he saw the cloud the size of a man's hand. He prophesied. He spoke it. Listen to me. God's word is a double-edged sword. Listen to what that is. One edge is his word. The second edge is your word. In other words, your God says it, and then you say it. How many want to come into agreement with the word of the Lord? Said, you're the righteousness of God, and then you say, I am the righteousness of God. God says, you're the head, not the tail, and you say, I am the head and not the tail. God says, no weapon formed against you is going to prosper, and you say. You see how that works? But if you're in a cave, your mouth is in prison, and you can't speak it. And I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm blessed. I'm flavored. I'm God's. I'm a prophet, for goodness sakes. I don't belong in a cave. So come out of that cave. Come out, wherever you are. Roll that stone away. Stand up in faith and say, I will not die but live and declare the wonderful works of God. See, that takes faith. So I don't feel much like a man of faith or a woman of faith. I'm dying here. Yeah? And if you don't get out of that cave, you definitely will. But how many know God wants you to change your atmosphere and come out of that dark place? Cave can't hold you down because 2,000 years ago, Jesus came out of an empty cave in Jerusalem, and that means you have the power and the victory to come out of your cave today. Resurrection power. Feel me this hour, amen? So let's continue so we can go home. Some of you are ready for a snack. Elijah stood on the mountain, and some of you are looking for some food. I know because it's at the table. Where's the food? Pastor, where's the food? I'm going to show you where the food is. Jesus is the bread of heaven. You're in the presence of God. How many know he's all the food you need? I said, when you get in the presence of God, he's all the sustenance you need. If you have to have something else besides him, I mean, you're going to fall for Baal or some other god. But Jesus is all you need. Strong wind tore the mountain in pieces. An awful display, an awesome display, but the Lord was not in it. What he had to say was not in all that. The Lord passes by. Earth, wind, and fire. Like what, if you're in the 80s, you understand what that was. What's happening is God saw fit to speak, not in his powerful display of destruction. He shows Elijah, he speaks in overwhelming power and also in intimate presence. He speaks. But I got a word for this next generation. It's simple, one word. Unplug. Unplug the devices. I see young people today, they got even your older people and devices in their hands. You can't go to the kitchen without, oh, where's my phone? My phone. I need my phone. I mean, no, you better put that thing down if you want to hear the word of the Lord. You're so busy, so preoccupied. It's so much easier to be consumed. I want to know, how does your prayer time compare to your screen time? Hey, who's winning? How are you going to hear from God if you're always plugged in and charged up and engaged in the world system and stuff? Well, I'm reading my Bible. Don't lie. Don't lie. How much are you engaged with Jesus? Okay? And from the Word and from the Holy Spirit. God's trying to do something. His goal was to prepare for the real intent, not for the fire and the wind and the earthquake. He's trying to get Elijah and Israel, which was what he was doing, is trying to convince and persuade them to hear the instructions from his word. But they're too full of fear. And this generation and church, all of us, we're so engaged in devices that we can't hear the word of the Lord. We don't have time for prayer. We don't have time to read our Bible. We're so busy. We're so engaged in everything else, and it's all important. But God's not in the wind, the earthquake. He is, but he's not speaking through the wind or the earthquake or the fire. That's what he's saying. And I want you to see this. What made Elijah recognize God? What made the man of God cover his face? It wasn't the wind. It wasn't the earthquake. It wasn't the fire. He went back. And God, remember the second time? He went back in after he saw that. What are you doing in here? I just spoke to you. Now God's about to speak to the man of God about his next assignment. God wants to give you your next assignment, but you have to get out of the cave. You have to listen intently to the still small voice. And Elijah was affected by the tender, merciful voice, a small whisper of God's presence. Some scholars say it wasn't even a whisper. It was like a breath of anybody, but he knew. How many had ever been in the presence of the Lord where you knew it was the Lord? Couldn't see him, couldn't hear him, couldn't taste him, couldn't touch him, but you could feel the presence of the Lord was there. Jehovah Shammah. He can come into a room and change the atmosphere real quick. And Elijah heard God speak and covered his face, and he went and stood in the mouth of the cave. There's so much here. I don't have time. I ain't got a bit of tape. One page left. Hang in there. It's only 10 more minutes. I want to talk to somebody this morning. There is a whisper coming your way. God's about to whisper something to somebody this morning. He's about to pass by. So you got to keep your ears open. If you're broken, listen closely. If you're confused, lean in a little closer, because it's in those places where things are so loud they can drown out God's voice. God's about to say something. Our God speaks, but in order for you to hear, you have to take the earplugs out of your ears. You have to be still enough to hear. You have to shut out all distractions. You have to get close enough to God, enough to hear his whisper. Did you know the average person now receives 50 to 100 texts or emails a day? Think about that. And wow. It's time to put that thing aside. Whatever's distracting you, whatever's taking most of your time. I'm not against technology. I think all of it's good. I think it's all good. Use it for the glory of God. But anytime that begins to put you into prison, instead of you using it, it starts to use you. How many know you're going to lose out with God? And then God has one more time, verse 15. Has something to say to the man of God. Because he gave him the same answer. This time, the command of revelation came. Final thought here. Go back the way you came, Elijah. Verse 15. Go to the desert of Damascus. And look at this. When you get there, somebody shout there. Here's another assignment to another place. When you get there, Elijah, I need you to anoint 3 people. I've got purpose in your life. You're not a failure, man of God. You're going to be all right. How many know when God calls you, he's not going to leave you in a cave. He's going to pull you out of that thing and give you another assignment, but you have to get up and walk out of the darkness, changing your attitude, changing your atmosphere. So in essence, God says, get up and pick up and go where you left off. And by the way, Elijah, just so you know, sir, I have 7,000 who have not bowed their knee to Baal. Hey, sir, you're not the only one, buddy. Don't get a complex. We don't need any more celebrities. God knows we don't need any more celebrities in the ministry. God can use anybody, anywhere. Obadiah hid 100 prophets. Elisha's over there behind the plow. There's a new king in town that's going to take Ahab's place. And God may not choose you, Elijah. He might choose somebody else. So your investments, sir, mean a lot now, don't they? God says, it's time to get away, son. Get back to what I called you to do, which is get along with me. And if you do, I will do this. I will give you a fresh mission. I want you to anoint 2 kings and 1 prophet. Don't worry about Ahab. I got him. I got him. I'll take care of him. Elijah, you're not the only one I'm using. It's not all on you, buddy. The world doesn't revolve around you, Pastor Ron. The world doesn't revolve around you. I mean, no, he can do the kingdom work without me. I pray to God he don't, because I'm having the time of my life. But you know how easy it is to let the stresses of life and the pressures of life keep you from the purposes and plans of God? He said, I'm going to give you a new, fresh mission, and I'm going to give you a right vision. Your ministry will continue, Elijah, only through Elisha. Your ministry is not fruitless. Your ministry is not in vain. I've got 7,000 more, and I need you to go over there and anoint them. And listen, friends, if we don't anoint another generation of Elishas, there will be locking the doors on this place.
not many days. I mean, God's calling out some people. It's time for us to take the next gen to the next step. In fact, Elijah, you don't know yet, but I'm about to take you up in a chariot of fire. Woo-hoo! Y'all want a rapture bunch? Elijah was part of the rapture bunch. If you don't want to be a part of the rapture, just the keys will be on my desk. Go ahead and lock up the kingdom. I want to close, Chrissy, if you and the team want to come back. Somebody's here today, maybe living in a cave or hiding there. It's only temporary. Jesus only spent 3 days. He came out. Maybe you lost your way. You lost your zeal. You lost your purpose. You lost your joy. You lost your peace. But today, God's calling somebody out. There's a better place for you than a dark cave. I said, there's a better place. How many know God's got better plans than that? He's got a better plan. He's got a better place. He's got a better purpose. He's got a better future.